time to speak. He's no stranger here. He's been a blessing to many of us over the years, and I appreciate your ministry. Welcome you.
Good to be here again. I want to thank you, Lynn, wherever you got to, for choosing number four. I think you knew that's one of my favorite songs, didn't you? And I someday would like to preach a whole sermon just on that song. It is so full of the attributes of God. I think it's a lovely, lovely hymn to sing and to. The only trouble is there's never time fast enough to think about all while we're singing it through. Oh, thank you for that. Let's pray. Father, we want to look at your word and we want to talk about some phrases we toss around and try and figure them out a bit in a practical way. So do bless us. Bless all the children that are here tonight and every one of us as well. In Jesus' name. We pray for your glory. Amen. Well, I'm glad to see you, the children here. I was hoping there would be some children here tonight. And some of what I'm saying particularly with you guys in mind. And I hope some of you feel brave, because I'm going to need some volunteers partway through some of this message. So, okay, I want to talk tonight about Christianese. It's a language, and maybe you've never heard of that language, but it's a language Christians talk, and it's a good language, but sometimes we talk it and we don't really understand it ourselves, and other people who aren't Christians don't really understand it at all. So I want to talk about a few things we sometimes say as Christians, and I wonder if you really know what they mean. The first one I want to talk about is we sometimes talk, and have you kids ever heard this expression, oh, that person's walking with the Lord, or you should walk with the Lord, or maybe sadly, oh, we need to pray for that person, they're not walking with the Lord. What do you think we mean? And I've just had this idea to do this, and I hope it'll be some benefit to us. Sometimes it bothers me. Do I know what we really mean? It's something, yeah, everybody kind of knows what it means, and so we don't have to think much. We just can throw it out, and it does the job for now. But do we really understand it? So, I would like you to come up here, please. And I want to ask you a few questions. Okay. Do you like going for walks?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Because I hardly go for walks.
Okay. But let's suppose Daddy was home and he said to you, can we go for a hike? Would you like to go for a hike with me this afternoon? Do you think that would be cool?
Uh-huh.
That would be good. Now, why would that be fun?
Because I like hiking.
Okay. And would it be fun to hike all by yourself?
No.
No.
Really?
Would it be fun to go with Dad, wouldn't it?
Uh-huh.
Because you could talk about things and you just have fun together. It would be fun to walk with Dad.
Mm-hmm.
Good. You may sit down. The whole idea of walking with someone has the idea of friendship, fellowship, doing something together. My wife pesters me. Well, I shouldn't use that word. I often come in and feel I've had lots of exercise. She says, would you go for a walk with me? And whenever I say, yes, I'll go for a walk with you, we have a good time, and it's worth it to do something together. The first time we get this idea of walking and God or the Lord is way back in the book of Genesis in verse 8. And I thought this was interesting, that the first reference in the Bible to God and walking doesn't talk about necessarily us walking with him, but it's after Adam and Eve had sinned. And it was, as my little granddaughter would say, an uh-oh had happened. And things weren't all cool and right anymore between Adam and Eve and God. In fact, they were afraid. And it says in verse 8 of Genesis 3, they, Adam and Eve, heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and Eve said, "Wow, Daddy, let's go for a hike." No, they did not. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees. That is not what we want to think about walking with the Lord. It may be what happens when we say, "Oh, that person is not walking with the Lord anymore." Something like this has happened. But you know what? God still came walking. God still came looking for Adam and Eve. God hadn't given up on Adam and Eve. And God comes looking. If we know him as our Savior, and even if we don't, he is walking to and fro. His eyes are going all through the earth, the Bible says, looking for those who are going to trust him and respond to him. Then, a little later in Genesis chapter 22, chapter 5 in verse 22, we meet another individual who it says he walked with God. This man's name was Enoch. He was born just before Noah's flood. He didn't live to see the flood. Not in this world, he didn't. But here's what it says about him. And Enoch walked with God. And then a little later, in verse 24, it says, "And Enoch walked with God, and he was not." Have you ever seen someone who wasn't? They were, and then they weren't. That was Enoch. He was not. And the reason he was not was for God took him. You know what happened? Enoch and God were friends. They fellowshipped together. They enjoyed each other together. And they walked together, it says, for 300 years, because people in those days lived to be really, really old. So Enoch was just a young pup at 300 and some years old. But one day when Enoch and God were walking, God just said to Enoch, "Look, why don't you come home with me tonight?" And Enoch was not. I don't know exactly what happened, but he was not. That's a good way to say it. He wasn't there. He was gone. He didn't die. I don't think they had a memorial service because he was gone. But he was not, because God took him home. And that is a good example of walking with God. And there's one other one I want to look at in Genesis 18. This is one that I think really shows a bit of the nuts and bolts of walking with God, a little more detail about a person walking with God. And here it is, Abraham. I'll have to tell you a little bit of the story. One day when Abraham was sitting by his tent under the shade and the blistering sun was shining down, he looked and he saw three men come walking across the plain. And they came to Abraham's house. And it doesn't say that they introduced themselves, but somehow Abraham knew this was the Lord and two angels. And Abraham made a meal for them, and they had a meal together, and then they got up to leave. And here's what it says in Genesis 18 and verse 16. "And the men rose up from there and looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah. And Abraham went with them to bring them on their way." So Abraham walked with them. And one of these men was the angel of the Lord. It may have been the Lord Jesus. It seems that sometimes in the Old Testament, he appeared in a human form. God, the Father, we can't see. It says in the Bible, he's invisible. He's a spirit. But Jesus, perhaps, possibly, this may have been him. And it says, the Lord said, whoever he was, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm going to do? Because you're going to be a great nation, Abraham, and you're my friend. And I know that you will teach your children about me. You're special. Abraham, let's walk together. I have some things I want to tell you. I'm going to give you some classified information. You know what that is? Like, that's top secret military stuff that not ordinary people can't know. God gave Abraham some information that nobody else was going to find out, because Abraham was his friend and he was walking with him. And then he said, you know those cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, down in the plain? It seems things are pretty bad down there. And we're just going to go down there and have a look. So then we'll know how things are. And it says the other two men left, but Abraham stood and kind of blocked the Lord from going on. Said, we need to talk. I'm telling this, and it's not all those words exactly in the Bible, but Abraham had a nephew living in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he cared about him. And he knew that if God goes down there, that city was wicked, God would probably destroy them. Something bad was going to happen to Sodom and Gomorrah. And his nephew was there. And Abraham pleaded with God for Sodom and Gomorrah. Maybe there might be 50 good people. And would you not spare the city if there were 50? And then God said yes for 50. And then Abraham, oh boy, that's a lot. It's a bad place. Maybe only 40. And God said, I'll spare it for 40. And Abraham, we could say, bargained with God until he asked for 10. And God said, I will spare it for 10. And then the Lord left him and Abraham went home. Walking with God is fellowship. It is also entering in with the Lord in some of his plans, which he lets his people know, and caring about people and telling the Lord about some of those people that we really care about. So here's a couple of illustrations. Now, what really does it mean? In 1 John 1 and verses 6 and 7, it says, if we walk in darkness, then there's no truth in us. But if we walk in the light, we have fellowship with God and with each other. So one of the keys about walking with God is walking in the light. Light in the Bible means truth. Often it means the opposite of sin. It means in living according to God's will and walking in those ways. How does this all begin? Are you kids walking with the Lord? Who here is? I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand. But I want you to ask yourself. It begins, at least as our experience, when we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord. And we realize we're sinners, we need him, and we want him to save us. Then God becomes our friend. He always loves us. But when we're sinners, there's not friendship there. We're really his enemies. But when we come to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we come into his side, and then we're his friends. That's where walking with the Lord begins. We can't walk with the Lord until we are one of his people. So that's where it begins. And the key is walking in his will. If the things we know he wants us to do. I want to talk a little bit more about how we know that later on when we talk about another Christianese phrase. But for now, let's describe it that way. Now, sometimes we hear people say, that person is just not walking with the Lord. And what do we mean? We mean that that person has somehow given up on their Christian life, or they have let sin get the best of them, They don't want to often be with God's people. They're not interested in Christian things. There's no evidence that they really have a very deep friendship with God. So they're not walking with Him. What happens to people like that? I think there are two ways we can look at that. It may mean that those people are real Christians and they have, another big word, backslid. You know, kind of if you're trying to go up a steep hill and you lose your footing and zoom, you go down. We all do that sometimes as Christians. We fail, we fall, we shouldn't have done it. And that's not the end of the world. We don't want to do that. But we need to get up, ask God to forgive us, and say, I still want to walk with you. Please, pick me up. Let's walk together. And we can go on. Now, if a Christian stays that way, doesn't get up, God does things to Christians like that. I need another volunteer. Up you come. Thank you. This is pretend. I don't think you did this, but I want you to stand over here, and we're just going to pretend that you got a brand new slingshot. Do you like slingshots? Every hot one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, what is a not good thing to do with a slingshot?
Smash windows?
Right on. Exactly what I was thinking. And we're just going to pretend that Daddy gave you the slingshot, and he said, now, this is a dangerous thing. Don't shoot at your brothers and sisters, and don't shoot at the windows. Don't shoot anywhere close to them. But you know what? You picked up that stone, and you really didn't want to, but it would be really close to see how close you could get. And we'll blame the wind a little bit, but it went through the window. Bang! Now, are you going to be happy to see Daddy come home from work tonight? Why not?
Because he'll see the smashed window.
And what's he going to do?
Probably punish me.
And how?
With a spanking.
Okay, is that fun? No. Now, why does Daddy spank you? Is he so mad?
No, because he doesn't want me to grow up like that.
You're dead on right. And God does that to people too when they want, thank you, when they walk away from Him. He will go after His children. He says, look, this isn't right. I'm giving you a reminder. I'm letting this happen. Come back to me. And if God's people don't, in drastic situations, 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 30 tells us sometimes God takes those people right out of this life and they die. And if they're still His people, they'll go to heaven. But God had a lot of good plans for them. And He's saying, no, you're not listening to me. I'm sorry. Out you come. You come home. We'll deal with it in heaven. That's one thing that happens. Other people, we look at them, and we don't know always which case people are in when we say they're not walking with the Lord. Maybe they never were Christians. There is such a thing in the Bible called apostasy, where people may have even thought they were, but they never really were. And they kind of mix with the Christians, and eventually they give it all up and say, I don't believe that. And they walk away from it, and they never come back. And in 1 John 2, in verses 19 to 20, it says, there are people that went out from us, but they were not really of us because they didn't stay with us. And that's a sad case. So, does that give you a little better idea when somebody says, hey, that person is walking with the Lord, or we should walk with the Lord? Can you get a bit of a picture of what that means? How we can have friendship with God if we're Christians, and we love Him, and we love to please Him, and we just sense that He's with us, He loves us, He's our friend. But we need to walk in the light. And the things we know he that please Him, just like we do with Mommy and Daddy. Okay, there's another one of these phrases we talk about. And we could sometimes we use it being led by the Spirit, or being full of the Spirit, or walking in the Spirit. Kind of, I'm lumping them all together. Now, what does that mean? It sounds really good. It's something Christians should be doing. But what does that mean? I want to read quite a few verses here that tell us facts about the Holy Spirit. And you know these. It's always good to be reminded of them. At first, the first one is in John 3. In John 3, Jesus is talking to Nicodemus. And he says something that's pretty way out. He says in verses 5 and 6, Jesus said, "Truly, I say to you, unless a man is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, Jesus said, unless we are born again, we will not get to heaven. That's basically what he said. Born of the flesh, that means mommy and daddy had a baby. That baby was you, and you were born in the flesh. We all are born that way, coming into the world. That's the first way we get born. But we have to be born again by the Holy Spirit, whatever that means, if we're going to get into heaven. And so then it says that the Holy Spirit in Titus, I'm going to read a verse here, Titus 3, verses 4 to 6. "But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we've done." We know that. We can't earn our salvation by our good works. "But according to his mercy," and mercy means God loves us so much, it's kind of like if your daddy came home and you figured you were going to get a spanking for sure, and he saw that you were really, really sorry for what you'd done, and he might instead let you off with going to bed early and not going skating with the rest of the kids. And he's showing you mercy. He didn't give you the spanking you deserved. He held it back. And God shows us mercy by not punishing us for our sins and putting them on Jesus Christ instead. But then it says, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So, the Holy Spirit is very much a part of anybody ever getting saved. It's the Holy Spirit that tells us our need, puts what big word we call conviction, makes us feel awful and realize that we're not right with God and we need Jesus. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit, that big word regeneration, means he makes us a new person. And we're going to demonstrate that a little bit in just a few minutes here. It says in Romans 8 and verse 9 that the Holy Spirit lives inside of every true Christian. If the Holy Spirit isn't living in you, you're not a true Christian. Now, when I got saved as a young boy, it used to bother me a little bit because I didn't feel any different inside, really. I did have a joy and peace that I didn't have before, and I knew it was okay. But this Holy Spirit business troubled me a bit. And so here's what I'm telling you kids and all of us. The next few things I'm going to read, the Bible says them, and so we have to believe them, whether we feel them or can find particular evidence for it. If we're Christians, these things are true of us. Number one, the Holy Spirit lives in us. Number two, according to Ephesians 1 and verses 13 and 14, the Holy Spirit seals us. Now, what that means is sometimes if you buy something or let's say you're sending something by mail, something valuable, there's a seal put on there that nobody can open except a mail person or the person at the other end that's supposed to get it. That seal protects it and says, this is sealed. It's supposed to go there. It's protected to go there. The Holy Spirit, if we're Christians, comes inside us so that when God looks, he says, oh, the Holy Spirit's in him and in him and in him. They're mine. Satan, see that? Those are my people. Nobody can touch them. Someday, I'm going to take them to heaven and give them a whole lot more. But just to know that, so they know, and Satan knows, and I know, those are all my people. I'm going to steal them. The Holy Spirit does that. Puts a special mark of identification and ownership on us so that we belong to God. We know that. The Bible says it's true, so we need to believe it about the Holy Spirit. Then it says in John 16, 13 and 14, that part of his job is to teach us. We can't understand the Bible and its deep truths. You know, very, very clever, educated men study the Bible, and you know what happens to them? Because they have a mindset that isn't ready to be humble and ask for God and his help, they do not understand it. They can tell you everything about it and all the history and the language and all that, but it does not lead them to Jesus Christ and to salvation. Because the Spirit of God has to teach us what God really intended this word to mean to us. And when we have, when we ask him and we read the Bible, he can do that. I knew a man when I was a young boy who grew up to over 20 years old and he did not know how to read. He had never gone to school because he had a bad, bad stuttering problem. But he wanted so badly, he got saved, and he wanted so badly to learn to read the Bible that he got after his older brother. And in the evening after work was done, took a long time, he taught him to read. And that dear man knew his Bible and knew the truth of the Bible well. Though everybody else might have thought he was a dunce. The Holy Spirit taught him. And he will teach us. That's what he wants to do. Turn now in your Bibles, please, all of us. We'll look at Galatians chapter 5. And I want to read some verses here, and then I need quite a bit of help up here. Okay, this is a passage that a lot of us know well. We'll start at verse 16. And listen carefully, boys and girls, even though it might be hard for you to understand. But then we're going to try and explain it. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. We were talking about walking with the Lord. We also walk in the Spirit. That's part of walking with the Lord. And you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the Spirit lusteth, or we could say fights against the flesh. Lusts or fight against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary. They don't like each other to one another, so that you cannot do what the things you want to. But if you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now, it uses the word flesh here. You know, it's a hard thing for science to understand and to explain why it is that boys and girls and grown people do bad things so much easier than they do good things. It's a mystery. Shouldn't it be if it was kind of accidental, we should do good things half the time and bad things half the time or something like that? But we always have to work hard at the good things, and the bad things happen so easily. That is because when we are born, we're all born sinners, and there's something in us that the Bible calls the flesh. And it's bad me. You can call it bad me. That's how we're born. But when we become Christians, God gives us a new. He makes us new, and it's kind of like we're two people. There's the bad me and the new me that loves Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit comes into the picture, and the Holy Spirit wants to move us in a way that will make God happy and please him and bring good things out of our life. But the bad me says, no, I don't like that. The bad me likes nothing good, you know. The bad me doesn't like to pray. You heard about a prayer meeting. The bad me will always find an excuse not to go to a prayer meeting. You want to find out if there is flesh in your life? Prayer meetings and the Lord's Supper are two of the things that will not sit well with you if you are in the flesh. Those are things we cannot sincerely do in the flesh, and in many others too. So, let me read on. Now, the works of the flesh, the works of the bad me, show themselves in our lives. It says manifest here, and they are these. Some of these are big names: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. You understand them better when you get a bit bigger, older. Idolatry, worshiping idols, witchcraft, getting into all kinds of magic, bad stuff. Hatred, really hating other people. Variants, or being hard to get along with. Emulations. My margin says jealousy, being jealous, wrath, angry, really angry, strife, fighting, trouble, making trouble, seditions, causing people not to get along with each other, heresies, not liking the truth, envyings, I want what you've got, murders, killing people, and you know, I doubt whether you kids have ever killed somebody. I sure hope not. But the Bible says when you are filled with hatred for someone, Jesus said, well, that's the same as killing, because that's how killing starts. And then if it doesn't get stopped, it ends up doing the act. That's the bad me and the bad you. And it says drunkenness, people that get older and they get into drink and drugs, revelings, bad parties, and things like that. And I've also told you in time past that those people that do those things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, when the Holy Spirit is allowed to work through the good me, if we're Christians, here's what he brings out. Love, a true love for people. Joy. Joy is a wonderful, it's not always just giggling and laughing, but it's just feeling good inside because it's all right with me and God and everything else. Peace. I wonder if I'll pass that test tomorrow. Oh, I'm so scared. It's okay because God's in control. He can look after us with that. Long suffering. Yeah. My sister just took my Lego project apart again, but she's too little to understand. Oh, I forgive her. Gentleness. You know, little boys can be very rowdy, little girls too. Sometimes older people can. Just having a gentle spirit that doesn't want to walk all over everybody else. Goodness. Good things. Faith. Looking to God and trusting him when it looks not real good. Meekness. Not pushing myself forward. Temperance. That means self-control. Not just flying off the handle. Faith. Those things are the things that please the Lord. Now, how does that work? I need four volunteers, really bad. Can be boys or girls. Up you come. Okay, you can come again. And right here, you can come up. And you can come up, you two girls. Great, up you come. We've got two chairs. So, two of you can sit. Now, you can't. Can we see them better if we put them over here as far as we can? Okay. We'll let you two girls sit on the chairs. That would be the gentlemanly thing to do. And you boys are back here. Now, you have a white shirt. We're going to put you over here for now. And I want you to, well, you can sit in this chair here. I'll let you sit there. Okay. These three people represent you and me. We're looking inside them. This is what's happening inside them. We'll call this Mr. Christian. Okay? When you were born, Miss Christian. We have two girls here. Okay. When you were born, this here Miss Christian, and I'm sorry about the miss for you. You were bad me. There was no good me. That's how we're all born. That's called the flesh. That's this. Okay? But one day, you understood that Jesus died for you and that you needed to repent for your sins, be sorry, and you accepted him. And then the Holy Spirit recreated a good me, a new me. But you're both in here in this Miss Christian. And you really do not like each other. You cannot get along. Because all this bad me wants to do are the bad things. All you want to do is please the Lord. So every decision becomes a problem. But you are the guy that has a tough job. We're going to call you Mr. Will, and we all have one. You know, we can never say, you could never say, well, not in truth. You know, looking this way with the slingshot, and I just let it go, and it couldn't help what happened. The stone just went zoom right around there and hit the window. That wouldn't be true. You actually planned to get as close as possible, and we were playing with what you knew wasn't right. So we all make decisions. We can't blame anybody else when we do something wrong. There are sometimes many layers and factors, but we decide that we're going to do wrong. Nobody else decides that. So that's your job. When we have a big fuss here, okay, Mom said to come home right after school, but some of the girls are having a birthday party. You didn't ask if you could go, and you know that there's work at home Mom wanted you to do. You want to go. Bad me says, we'll make up a story, and we can persuade Mom. Good me says, no, that would be wrong. You have to decide which way you're going to go. Okay, you're going to go, good, good for you. But you know something? We haven't introduced him yet. If it wasn't for him, you would fail most of the time, even though you were a Christian. Because not one person in this room can live the Christian life in their own power. Therefore, you are to represent the Holy Spirit. And you're here. When these people became, this Miss Christian became a Christian, you came there to live inside them. But the Holy Spirit is like a very great gentleman. We don't read about the Holy Spirit pushing his way into people's lives, about taking over Mr. Will's job. He doesn't do that. But here's what the Holy Spirit does do. Holy Spirit is there, and while this fight's going on, he will activate our conscience and say, hey, that's not right. What are you going to do about it? That's not what's going to please God. But then Mr. Will gets to say, he's really got a lot of power here. And in the Christian life, that is where the battle is lost or won. When we talk about walking in the Spirit, this is what it means. Is Mr. Will, our decisions, day by day, are we going to say, yes, I don't know how this is going to happen, but we're going to listen to the good me and to the voice of the Holy Spirit and believe that the Holy Spirit is going to give the power to make that thing happen right. That's a simple illustration. I hope it helps us a bit. You may sit down and thank you very much. Just in closing, I want to talk a little bit, you know, in just a very practical terms. What does it mean? How do we actually do that on a day-to-day basis? Bible talks about not grieving the Holy Spirit, about being filled with the Spirit, about not quenching the Spirit. The first thing I want to say, I gave you quite a few verses, and there are many more we could look at, about the truths that God says are true about a Christian and the Holy Spirit. The first step is to believe that. God is in me, the Holy Spirit. The power that raised Christ from the resurrection is here. The enablement to walk and please the Lord Jesus Christ is here. The Holy Spirit is here. We need to be deliberate about those truths. If that is so, then I got to wake up in the morning as if that is really true in my life and believe it. How do I do that? The Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, is there to help us pray. It says that he can take our prayers to God and smooth them out, and so that God can look at them and they're valuable. We need to believe and expect the Holy Spirit's help in fulfilling the Christian life. If he's in us, and that's why he's here, we need to believe it and expect that he is going to be there to help us. It's not just a theological truth. One of the number of things he does is one, his specific goal is to help us understand the Lord Jesus Christ better and his will and the great beauties and glories about Jesus Christ. He's there for that. He's there to lead us through the day. I've often wished it was written in the sky. It's not, but the Holy Spirit is in here. And we must believe that. Now, how do we do that? What is our response? Just a few years ago, I've begun to do this. Don't look at me as a perfect Christian. I'm not. But I will tell you, it's changed my life. I pray to the Holy Spirit. He is God. Not the same way as I pray to God my Father, but I often begin a morning in my chair. That's a very important time to me, and I don't like anything to get in the way if I can help it. That at least I have some time alone and say, here I am, Holy Spirit, you're in me, I believe you're there, I'm opening this book, and there's people I need to pray about. Just show me Jesus in a special way and get me ready for the day. You know what he does? He will open the Bible to you for you and give you the things you need today. And he'll give you things that will give you goosebumps. I never saw that about the Lord Jesus. He'll put people in your mind and say, you better pray for that person. And it's a whole lot more fun than a long list and a ritual to go through. I think we need to be disciplined about that kind of prayer as well. Okay. Then, after breakfast, and often Donna and I at the table pray something like this, Lord, we're ready to go into the day. Holy Spirit, you're here. Just lead us through the day. Make our conscience ready to hear when you're saying no, or when we've done something wrong, that we will quickly confess it and be in fellowship with you again. And decisions we have to make. You know, there's been very, very few decisions in my life that have been miraculous, and God said, wow, do this. Most of them are things that end up in my lap, Mr. Will, having to say, we'll do this or that. But the Holy Spirit is promised to be my leader for the day. That's his job. Holy Spirit, lead. Give me impulses at the right time. Show me people that need you and are ready to hear. Show me just how to do my work. Just be there with me and make it clear. Put circumstances together today. Guide me to worship and to pray. Then you know what? He does. And then the people will come. And the problems will come. And you will be way in over your head. Because walking in the Spirit is walking beyond our power. But then cheer up. You asked for it. God brought it, and He supplies the power and the wisdom to do it. Holy Spirit, we're in over our heads. Take over. I'm at your disposal. I don't believe it's weird stuff. I believe that's what it means. God bless you. And if we do that, I guarantee us it will not be a boring life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just thank you for your word. Thank you that it is important to you to take our hands and walk with us. In our sophistication, help us not to look down on that wonderful gift, but to cherish it, your presence, your walking with us. And Holy Spirit, to allow you to have your way in our lives, to expect it, to put our feet into it, to let you work from the boys and girls to every one of us here. Bless us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.